And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Mike Gregg and Giannis Janaeus. In this episode, we're going to discuss the crazy 4-2 victory for Fulham against Barnsley at Oakwell. Fulham fought back twice from going down a goal to win this match. Later on, we're going to preview the Tuesday night match at Craven Cottage for Fulham against the league leaders, which is Norwich City. We have much to get through, but before we get going, I always have to welcome my co-host back to the show. First, Mr. Mike Gregg, how you doing?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Hi, Giannis. Yeah, doing well and looking forward to talking about a win after a very poor last few weeks. And, you know, looking forward to talking about a big game tomorrow as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, I decided to combine two episodes into one because of the midweek match. It just seems to be easier to put everything into one episode. That's what we're going to be doing. And then on the Friday show, the weekend roundup, will be a post-match show at the beginning of that. So again, we're just combining a couple of shows, making more compact. But we have much to get through in this. And before we get going, I also have to welcome Giannis back to the show up in Canada. Giannis, how are you doing?
Hello, everybody. Hello. Hello, Mikey. Hello, Ross.
How are you doing, my friend? Are you ready to talk today?
Yeah, I'm ready to talk. It's always nice to talk after a Fulham victory, for sure. So should be good fun. Should be good. Looking forward to tomorrow's festivities against those horrible birds.
Yeah, we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But let's look back at this 4-2 Fulham victory. And, Mike, I'm going to start with you. We all had a chance to watch the replay. I'm sure we all listen to the match as well on Fulham FC TV. And I do want to say that the replay, whatever issues that they were having with the audio, was not on the replay, which was a good thing. For some reason, they had some audio issues on the audio broadcast, but the replay was fine. But, Mike, I just want to get your overall thoughts on what you listened to and what you watched and the overall victory for Fulham here.
Yeah, well, I didn't listen to it on Saturday. I was out and about, but watched the whole game yesterday on replay. And for anyone who's not watched the 90 minutes, you get Gentleman Jim's commentary during the game as well. And what I did was, after the game, was had a look to see the reaction on Twitter and a couple of the forums. And the overall reaction was, you know, great win, disappointing to be 2-1 down at times. But, you know, we played well and created lots of chances. And, you know, that was, and from some certain posters who you get used to reading, even they were being positive about the performance. So, all in all, I was looking forward to the replay, watched it. And, yeah, it's a good performance. Goals, you know, a couple of sloppy goals in a way, but you know, overall, very happy. And I mean, on the show on Friday, I thought we'd get a draw, and to come away with a win is excellent, and the start of an important week, as I said.
Now, Mike, listen, you've talked about these three matches. So far, we have one victory. We have two more matches to go. If we can do what you said we need to do, then Fulham could actually be in very good shape. Starting off strong with a victory, but like you mentioned, still a good amount of work to be done. Giannis, you watched the replay. Thoughts on what you watched and obviously getting all 3 points for Fulham?
Well, it's an important win, for sure. We needed to get a good result after that monstrosity that was the QPR game. And, you know, with the games against, obviously, Norwich, Villa and Huddersfield coming up, it was important we got something away from home. I thought we played well. As Mike said, we created a number of chances. We looked competent. There's a couple of things we could probably tighten up on. The curious thing for me is why we're playing so well away from home and why we're really struggling at home. We're unbeaten away from home. This would be a really good time to remedy that. But it's 3 good points, and wins always bring confidence. I'm hoping that they can carry that on to tomorrow night's game.
No, I'm right there with you, my friend. I'm right there with you. Okay, let's now get your thoughts before we go any further. Let's Let's talk about the starting 11. And, Micah, I want to get your thoughts. When you saw the starting 11, what was going through your mind? Mike, did I lose you? Did we lose Mike? Okay. Then
no,
Giannis,
here,
I will go to
here,
you.
Russ.
What were your thoughts?
No, Russ,
what
I'm
were
here.
Your thoughts?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Sorry, I muted you and, got to switch on. the lineup was, again, we spoke about it on the preview show, and, I was pleased to see Johansson get a chance. I thought it might be Tunnicliffe. And, and he went with Malone and Ream kept his position as well. So he's what we're seeing from Jokanović is he is willing to make, one or two changes, but he's very, confident in those players that even some of us question, So he's allowing them a good run in the team. Pleased to see it. And the good thing that we saw once the game kicked off and progressed was that Kearney was moved in the middle, and it was Aluku who went out wide. Again, that was something
you read my mind, Mike.
Yeah, I think, from what we've got, it was a decent lineup that he put out. Again, I get interested in the subs bench. We saw Fredericks, as we predicted. But again, there's other players missing who you think, there was no... he wasn't in there. No Christensen either, no Woodrow. So there's a lot of guys, must be kicking their heels, irritated and not getting in the squad. But to go away with that lineup and be very positive from the beginning, shows the way Jokanović thinks, really. I don't think we're ever going to see him set up a truly defensive team.
No, definitely wasn't in this match. And it was interesting, Mike. What did you make of the inclusion of Johansson?
That he feels that he needs that mobility, and that's something that's a bit more, a bit more drive. I think I said either him or Tunnicliffe should start, but Johansson is more skillful of the two. And also, let's remember, if you believe a lot of things you read, Johansson is a Jokanović pick. He wanted him and persuaded the club to go for him, and so he's had a couple of false starts, but he played well on Saturday, and again, go back to some of the doubters on him, they seem to have been won over a little bit, and we've seen I saw bits and pieces in the games he's played. I think he brings a lot more mobility, and I hope the days of the Parker McDonald's axis are over now, and we can, rotate those central midfielders to get the best out of them.
I'm there with you, Mike. I think they should be rotated, but we can talk about that at another time. Giannis, over to you. I want to get your thoughts on the starting 11. I think Mike brought up a good point that I was going to bring up during the show, but since he brought it up during the starting 11, a big positive for me was that Aluko was out wide and Kearney was central. But I want to get your thoughts on that and overall on the starting 11 going into the match.
Well, the lineup was okay. I'll be the first to tell you that I'm not a Johansson fan. I'd have put Tunnicliffe in there, and I scratched my head as to why Ream was there, because I prefer Maddle. And as Mike talked about, the omissions on the bench, Corley and Lasse Vigen. How they can't get into this 18, I don't know. It looked fairly... the formation looked pretty good. We've had some quality out wide. Really pleased to see the Malones at the left back. And we just needed to... It was a game before the game, I fancied our chances of getting something from it. Going a goal down and then 2-1 down, I still thought we had a good opportunity to nick something out of it. But the lineup was good. I think you might see a few changes for tomorrow's game, though, because tomorrow's going to be a very different game, especially as we're going to be at home.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's get into the match. Let's start with our first half observations, and we'll go through this. I'll go back and forth with you guys. And, Mike, I'm going to start with you. Unfortunately, Fulham went down very early on in this match in the fourth minute. Barnsley takes the lead on a goal by Molly Watkins, who beats David Budden to give them the lead 1-0. What did you see on this when you watched the replay, Mike?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you know, just the thing we didn't want, you know, an early goal against us. And, you know, it was a mistake by Ream, there's no doubt about that. But he's taking the ball out, and it's a sloppy pass, and the Barnsley player plays it forward. Behind Ream is Parker, is Malone, is Sigurdsson at some stages, but the guy has a free run on goal and just puts it past Button. It's a Ream mistake with the pass, and, you know, we were quite high up. And so, yeah, to go down, you know, just, again, a bad start. We've let a team score first, and we're chasing a game yet again. I had a look at some stats today, and we have the worst record for allowing goals in first. So, you know, we need to improve that. We can't always be chasing. But fair play to them. They got back into the game, and, you know, for the next half hour, I thought we were clearly the best team, and Barnsley had very limited chances.
Yeah, it's funny, Mike, because we're going to talk about, we just talked about this goal, we're going to talk about their other goal, but beyond that, I can't think of much that Barnsley did in the first half. And like you mentioned, Fulham really were taking control of the match, even though they were down 1-0. I'm not going to say I could feel the goal coming, but they were controlling the play. And it does lead up eventually in the 37th minute. Giannis, I'll go to you. I want to get your thoughts on the goal by Lucas Piazon. He got the equalizer, but this was set up by Scott Malone, who I thought had an excellent match. Again, he set him up nicely. Talk about the equalizer for Fulham in the 37th minute.
Well, it was coming. I mean, Aluko had a chance, and Martin had a chance. I know there's been a lot of fans that have been, you know, have been questioning about putting Malone in ahead of Sessegnon, but I'm a big Malone fan. I think it was an excellent pickup over the summer. It's a good pass by Kearney as well. And I know the temptation often is when you're making those crosses to knock them horizontal, but he's knocked it back. And Piazon's there to get in. It was a very, very good run. And that's the one thing that we can do. We've got, you know, with Odoi and Malone, we've got attacking threat wide in terms of the fullbacks. And we really caught them at sixes and sevens. They had a problem with us all day trying to defend us out wide.
Absolutely.
And that was a really nice goal. It was a positive goal, and it's certainly a goal that it was certainly the equaliser that we fully deserved.
No, definitely. And what's interesting, I'm glad that you talked about our fullbacks really putting pressure on, you know, on theirs, because I believe Gentleman Jim kept saying during the match that their wingers were I guess you could say true wingers and really weren't helping out enough. And that left these gaps, Giannis, that allowed Fulham to really put pressure on their fullbacks. Did you see that a great deal during the match overall?
Yeah, I did. And it seemed to, once it catch bounds at sixes and sevens, they weren't very well organized. I expected better quality than I saw from them. Nonetheless, you've got to capitalize on mistakes and ask some questions, and obviously their width was a problem for them. We really tore them apart in terms of the fullbacks. And I think the traditional fullbacks, as you know, are the defensive-minded stay back. But when you've got overlapping fullbacks that will make those runs forward, it causes a lot of trouble because you're attacking in numbers. And Barnsley weren't able to really cope with that. Both Odoi and Malone had a very good game. So it was good. And against Norwich tomorrow, I think more of the same will cause them some problems too.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, I'm going to go right back to you. Unfortunately, 4 minutes later, Barnsley go ahead. They break the offside trap for the second time to make it 2-1 with a goal by Sam Winnell. What did you see here? Where was the breakdown here, Giannis?
Well, so it was more like a breakdown. It's more like a brain fart. We can't be conceding goals like that. It's especially at this level. I mean, we've done the brilliant thing by responding the way we did, and then they've caught us open again. That's why I think I prefer to have Marvel in the middle. I like his poise. I like his poise, and I like the way he, you know, he communicates with the other back three in the midfield. never been very comfortable with Ream, and I question his mobility as well. But the problem is when you defend high, you better play your trap properly, because if you don't, the wrong ball's going to slice you and dice you. And that's what happened again. And it was disappointing, as I said, because we come back into it, and then before you know it, we go down again. So, but luckily we marched straight back and got the equalizer.
Absolutely, I'm going to be talking about that in a second. But Mike, I want to go to you because you and I have talked about this a great deal. You've already talked about Michael Mattel and Tim Ream being in for Michael Mattel, but I'm going to go one step further. Are we missing our these goals? You know, would these goals happen if Tomas Kalas was in? Are we missing Tomas Kalas as a real force back there? Would these be happening? I guess it's impossible to really tell. But here's my question to you: are we missing him?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've rated him as our best signing and certainly our best defender. And he does everything quietly. He's deceptively fast as well, and reads the game well. And you know, since we lost him on the right hand side, we have shipped in a few goals, and you know, be it Ream, be it Sigurdsson, be it Maddell, you know, those three guys for me are the ones fighting for the single space in the team. And I think one of the reasons Maddell is not playing is that he started the season, he was playing on the left-hand side of the centre-backs. And I know the argument about professionals should be able to play right or left side, and but it is different angles. I mean, I've played centre-back and, you know, you get used to one way and then you're doing things another way. But, you know, I did say in some game, in one of the games that I did a post-match show, that because he's right-footed, you're not getting the ball out left then. Everything's going right. So it's going to Kalas or it's going cross-field. And then Sigurdsson played next to Kalas, and Sigurdsson's right-footed as well. And we had the same issue. Now, Ream comes in, naturally left-footed player. And, you know, it gives a balance. And maybe we're trying to find the right balance at the back and also give Sigurdsson a chance. Because, you know, he's come in, he's done okay, but he's not really shone yet, you know. So I think that's one reason why, you know, Ream certainly is in the team. It's just on the basis that he's left-footed and
interesting,
he's balanced. You know, that's why I think he's doing it. And also, he's the better footballer of coming out with the ball than certainly Sigurdsson is. And so I think that's what happened yesterday. You know, he's come out a couple of times, and the second goal, you know, he is actually marking his man. And the fact is Malone is wide out on the left, and again, Sigurdsson's too far. So, you know, he's got a lot of stick for that second goal, but actually I'm not convinced it's totally his fault. But yeah, I think that's what it is. But we're certainly missing Kalas, and the quicker he gets back, the better we will be.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that. But I'm glad that you gave that explanation of why you believe Tim Ream is playing, and that actually makes a great deal of sense, Mike. Thank you for that. And I'm going to go right back to you because, as Giannis was explaining, we quickly equalized, which is a positive sign. This is a positive sign that a minute later, Mike, they got the equalizers. So talk about the goal from Sonny Aluko, which was set up from Stefan Johansson.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll just quickly go back to our first goal. If anyone's actually, if you've only watched the highlights, you won't have seen the whole build-up. If you get a chance, watch the 90 minutes, get to 37 minutes and watch it, because there's 10 passes, there's 8 players involved. Pierson, who scored, is the player on the edge of the 18-yard box who passes it back to Ream. So, you know, it's such a lovely build-up. And if that had been, you know, Liverpool or Man City or something, everyone would be raving, oh, what a great, you know, build-up from the back, in, you know, 1-2 touch passes all the way along. And similarly, the second goal is a good number of passes as well, and it's a lovely touch by Johansson. And Luka was really happy for him to score after, you know, that penalty miss and you know, he got a hell of a lot. For someone who's been really good on social media since he signed, the abuse he got was just out of order for that penalty miss. I mean, we all get frustrated, but yeah, it was sickening, some of the stuff I saw. But, so I was really happy for him to get that goal. And what, you know, we can see just before half time, but then we do the best thing, score straight away, and go into the half time as the better team and in a positive frame of mind.
Absolutely, Mike. And it's funny because we're all trying to put the finger on why they're better away from Craven Cottage. But here's something that's very important. You're going to agree with this. And I've seen this way too many times over the past 3 years, and we did not see this on Saturday. Their heads didn't drop. In fact, their heads didn't drop after they let the first one in. They were determined to get their goal back and obviously very determined to get the second back, and that has to be a positive sign, Mike, going further into the season. And hopefully they can learn that even if they go down a goal, they can get right back into the match.
Well, I mean, also we were the better side. So, you know, I mean,
true.
Yes, we were suddenly 2-1 down, but there was nothing there to say, you know, oh, yeah, you can sort of say, oh, God, here we go again. But the fact is we were creating chances again. We were having shots. And, you know, I think they knew that it was going to come. And another thing is, you know, determination the players were showing. I mean, we, you know, we got 4 bookings in the end, you know, but and you could criticise Fulham for all their passing. It's a bit too nice. But I think we showed a bit of grit and determination. I think that still shows, despite a bad month, that we've got a good team spirit there.
That's a very good point, Mike. And you definitely saw that in this match. And listen, if you haven't watched the replay, I would highly recommend. I know you have to purchase the subscription for Fulham FC TV, but I got a good amount out of this replay, and I recommend watching it because, you know, you can't. It's not like being there. I wish I was there, but you really get to see. You really get to see how they're really playing together as a unit. It's starting to come together. I really saw it in this match, and that's why I'm glad we could talk about it. All right, guys, let's move over to the second half, and Michael, go right back to you. Immediately, 1 minute into the second half, they get the go-ahead goal by Scott Malone. Now, I'm going to ask you, I've watched this several times. Is it a cross, or is he trying to score here?
No, it's a cross. There's no way he's trying to score from there. It's bad goalkeeping as well. And, you know, but we need a bit of luck. You know, I've been talking about this hope Martin scores, you know, with all bouncing off his arse or something. But, so, you know, for all the efforts and all the, you know, the long-range shots or the great saves or whatever, you know, it takes a fluky cross, you know, to beat a keeper. So I'll take it whatever way it goes. And I really, you know, again, Malone, you know, he was man of the match on the Fulham website and also with the match ratings I do from the fans. And, you know, it was deserved. And, you know, also his assists as well in the game. So, yeah, great way to start. And pretty much, you know, from that moment on, although I knew the result, but watching the game, I didn't think it was ever in doubt that we were going to win that because we just continued attacking and, you know, creating a lot of chances, and everyone was playing really well.
Yeah, Mike. I mean, like I mentioned, this was a real team effort, and after they went ahead 3-2, like you said, we're still in control of this match. It's only a one-goal match at this point, but still, Fulham were really controlling the play. And Giannis, I'm going to go to you. Again, you know, it's about 20 minutes later, they get the fourth goal, and boy, did this person need this goal. This is a beautiful header by Chris Martin, but again, set up by Scott Malone. Talk about the fourth goal by Fulham here.
Well, as Mike said, I mean, Malone was man of the match and with very, very good reason. He had an outstanding game. And you're absolutely right. Martin needed to score because it was looking the last few weeks, you know, fans beginning to say, you know, was this signing a stiff or what? And he's put it on his head and he really couldn't miss. And that's probably what he needs. You know, I've heard from that he's, Martin can be a streaky player. If he scores one, he'll score for several games. I hope that's the case here. I'm a little befuddled because I'm not really sure what the issue was about getting yet another big centre forward when we've got players like Corley Woodrow in there who really should be getting playing time. So the pressure, I'm sure, was on Martin to score to justify the signing. I'm glad he got one, and I hope that leads to others. But it was a lovely cross by Malone, and it's that cross alone, I think, justified his man of the match. It was, you know, he stuck it on the tee, and it was a good header, but it was an outstanding cross.
You know, it really was, Giannis, and I'm glad that we're talking about Scott Malone. And while we're talking about crosses in the box, because I know Dennis Odoi has gotten some heat because he hasn't really had that signature moment that he had all the way back in the Newcastle match. But I have to say, I think he put some decent crosses in the box as well.
Yeah, he did play well. And that piece of skill against Newcastle is one of the most outrageous pieces of skill I've ever seen in my life. And it was... it ranks along, you know, Kasami's wonder goal against Palace a few years back. It was a brilliant piece of skill. The only thing about Odoi, the slight difference between Odoi and Malone is that I trust Malone more as a defender than Odoi, but he's there now, and as long as he's getting crosses in, the fullbacks are doing the job. Job's really the centre forward should be at the end of it. So it was a big big moment. I'd like to see if Matt Smith's going to get a start tomorrow night. I know he came on late. I'd like to see if maybe if the fullbacks are playing this well, at least Matt can get a chance to get a run out against Norwich and see if he can stick the ball in the back of the net.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, Mike, back to you. I definitely want to get your thoughts. I know we're not there. None of us were there. We're just watching the replay, but I have to ask you about the red card from Scowen on the challenge to Scott Parker. Is this a red card?
Yeah, for me, I mean, if you make that kind of tackle and you go for a player, I mean, yeah, I mean, my first reaction to watching it was, yeah, that's a red, and yeah, no doubts. And from that moment on, you know, the game was ours. We're already winning anyway. But you know, the only disappointment is, I suppose, we didn't go and get at least a couple more. But
sure.
Yeah, absolutely no doubt in my mind that. With that tackle, and I was surprised actually that, you know, Johansson went off. You know, I would have taken Parker off really to rest him.
I was shocked by that.
Well, you know, yeah, I was surprised getting 90 minutes in, but you know, then he does know that McDonald is back tomorrow, or you know, back available, and Johansson hasn't had that many games. So yeah, for me that was an interesting one, but yeah, absolutely a red card.
Okay, very good. And after the red card, they're obviously down to 10 men, and Fulham see the match out and win this 4-2. And again, a match they needed to win, Mike. We've talked about this a great deal. I know this isn't a great comparison. I'm just talking about how the match was played, how Fulham controlled the play, Mike. I know these two are draws, but I see comparisons on the approach by Fulham and who they played against, the Preston North End match where they controlled the play, and also the match against Leeds where again, the opportunities for the home team were not that many. Even though this team scored two, it seemed like for some reason we're taking it to these teams, and you really saw that in this match. Do you see a comparison that I have to those two matches earlier in the season when we were dictating the play on the road?
Yeah, absolutely. You're spot on, and especially with, say, the Preston and the Wigan games. And certainly the Wigan game where we just sat there, really, and allowed them to do what they wanted to. We weren't taking the game to anyone. And you know the old average position thing, Russ, on the Fulham website? I mean, if you have a look at that, I mean, we're pretty much, you know, four of our players – outfield players in our half, and the other six are, you know, in their half, and that's the way it was looking at the game. Is we were pushing on, and it was you know, Luka and Martin pretty much playing as a two at times on the, you know, even though with Kenny in the middle, and yeah, we took it to them, and you know, and to be fair, they just weren't they weren't that good. And away from home, with our pace and ability and our passing, and I go back to that first goal, you know, 10 passes to get it upfield very quickly. That's the kind of play we were playing in the first five games of the season, and we need to get back to that. And we did that by taking the game to him. Parker sitting, Johansson moving forward, and not two players sitting there in the middle of midfield supporting the rest. It makes such a difference having that mobility, and I think we saw the results of that on Saturday.
I agree, Mike, and I'm glad that you're talking about the mobility. I also want to talk, because we've already talked a little bit about it, the change from having Kearney out on the wing to now having Aluko out on the wing. How much of a factor was that in this mobility and this ability to really move quickly here?
Yeah, well, I think watching it, it looks more like Johansson ended up in pretty central a lot of the time, and Aluko was allowed to sort of push on a bit more. So Kearney was still central, but we've been asking for that for a long time, and it was his chance. And who knows, he may have gone to the manager and said, look, you know, get me in the centre and I'll show you what I can do. And again, he's passing. He was involved in the first goal and, you know, with the pass out to Malone. So that's where we want to see Kearney, in dangerous positions, dictating the play. And, you know, it was good after, half a dozen games where he hasn't produced much at all to finally get in that position and show what he has to offer. And with Aluku's pace, you know, I don't see him as a winger, but certainly wider gives us a bit more, directness.
Okay, very good there, Mike. All right, let's go to the full-time stats and get your thoughts on those. Let's start with possession, 68% to 32% in favor of Fulham. Total shots, 14 to 10 in favor of Fulham. On target, 6 to 4 in favor of Fulham. Corners, 5 to 4 in favor of Fulham. Crosses, pretty close though, 19-18 in favor of Fulham. Tackles, Bronsley had 4 more at 18-14. Attempted passes, this is a very interesting one, 639 to 290. Attacking passes, that was in favor of Fulham, by the way. Attacking passes, 267 to 113 in favor of Fulham. Passing accuracy, I know that's a stat that you like to look at, Mike, 86% to 71% in favor of Fulham. Accurate passes, 551 to 206. In favor of Fulham. Successful aerial duels in favor of Fulham, I believe 14-4. And fouls, Bronsley had 13, Fulham had 10. Mike, what stands out to you the most in the full-time stats? Mike, you there? Did we lose Mike again?
Yeah, sorry, I'm here. I'm here. Yeah, no, the one that stands out for me is under the passes, you know, 639 passes. So anyone looking at that, 67%, we've been passing it around in front of the goal again. Well, we haven't, because 349 of them were attacking passes. And, you know, so over 50% of the time, you know, our passing is getting the ball forward. And, you know, that's when you look at other games, you know, that's a really good percentage of attacking passes and, 12 key passes. So you're right to say that to me, Russell. It's the passes and the accuracy I look at, because that's the kind of team I want to see. I want to see a passing team. I'm not looking for get it ball forward in, you know, two passes and hope someone heads it or, you know, has a blast anywhere. You know, let's build up, control the game, and that's what we did on Saturday. So, and to play a team that does, 290 passes, just shows you Barnsley struggling to put two or three passes together. So, again, pressing-wise, work rate-wise, they delivered in all departments on Saturday.
Absolutely, and I'm glad that you mentioned these stats, because they really show that. Giannis, I'm going to give you a stat that really actually stands out to me, because we've been complaining that they're not getting enough shots on target. They have 6 out of 14. That's not bad. That's an improvement. That's what stands out to me. What stands out to you?
Same thing. Exactly this. Exactly. You stole my thunder. 6 shots on target. 6 shots on target is not going to be better than some of the nonsense that was going on in terms of, you know, one or two shots a game. Although I'm going to be cautious about going totally overboard, because I think Barnsley looked a really poor side. I think Coach Higginbottom will be very annoyed with the performance that they put in, especially in front of their home fans. They actually look like a relegation side, and even then, of course, remember they scored two goals on. So it is a good win, but I think tomorrow's the Canary game will be a much, much better test, because they're a much better side. But Barnsley, I thought we played well, but I thought Barnsley were very, very poor. And going back to that sending off, totally and utterly needless challenge. You're 3-2 down. You've still got a chance of coming back. And it's just a reckless, over-the-top challenge, and that's giving it a straight red. So back to the issue at hand. Six shots on target. I know we had 14 total shots. That's good. Let's hope we can keep that up for tomorrow.
Okay, very good, Giannis. All right, right back to you, and then I'll go to Mike. Who's your man of the match?
Oh, it's Malone. He was outstanding. He really, really was. And I know, again, I said earlier, it's been the clamour for Sessegnon to play. But Malone's a better defender. I hope that Jukanovic doesn't do this shuffle the pack thing where he starts switching the fullbacks, and Malone doesn't get to play tomorrow. But I thought he was excellent Saturday, and certainly well deserving of man of the match.
Okay, very good. Mike, who was your man of the match, and also expand a little bit of what you learned from your poll of man of the match.
Yeah, I mean, it was mainly between Malone and Parker. I mean, I personally thought Parker, who I'm not a fan of, as most people know, but I actually thought he ran the show. You know, having that mobility, about half a dozen times I've said that, having that player next to him allows him to just sit there in front of the two central defenders, really, and the whole game in front of him, and just dictate, give him the ball, he'll do one of his, turns or whatever, and lay it off and let the others do the running, because, those 36-year-old legs can't keep going all season. That's what you need around him. So, for me, an away performance like that is going to come from the captain, the leader on the field, and that was Parker.
Okay, very good there. And, all right.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, and the poll gave it to Malone, but, a lot of the players scored really good scores. And, again, it was good to see, Martin, who has been the recent boo boy, also finish well in the poll. And, he is going to be the key. He's going to be the main striker up front, and we need him to perform. And, he's looking fitter. And I think, he is going to score goals, and in those kind of batches, as Giannis said.
Okay, very good. Before we get to rating Slavisa, I want to ask you about one other player, and I'm curious what your poll had to say about this player, Lucas Piazon.
Yeah, well, he's... he played well, didn't he? And he's taken his goal extremely well. And he's turned out to be a surprise, really. He's won his place in the side, and now you're sort of saying, well, we've been missing IET, but does he come in place of him? I'm not so sure.
But he
came fourth in the poll, just behind Luku. He's certainly got a lot of skill. He's got an eye for goal. We've seen that already. And, the reports from the Reading fans were that he's quite lightweight. But actually, he puts himself in for a challenge and seems to have the right attitude. So I think there's still quite a lot to come from him as well.
Okay, very good there, Mike. All right. All right, guys, it's time to go into our preview of the upcoming match Tuesday night at Craven Cottage against Norwich City. I've got some information from a freelance writer that I'll be sharing in a little bit. He's actually been a guest on Cottage Talk a few times, James Kent. I'll share that with you, and just some information on him. But before we do that, I always like to share some information from whoscored.com to get us going, so I'll share this with you guys. So let's start where we are in the table. Norwich City are first in the league. They have 8 victories, 2 draws, 2 losses. They've scored 24. They've only given up 16. They're on a plus-8 goal differential, and they're on 26 points. Out of the last 6 matches, they've won 5 out of 6. So that's an impressive run for Norwich City. Fulham are currently 10th. We have 4 victories, 5 draws, 3 losses. We've scored 14. We've only given up 15. We're on a minus-1 goal differential, and we're on 17 points. Okay, this information is from WhoScored.com to give you some characteristics of Norwich City. Strengths. They're very strong in all of these categories. Finishing scoring chances, attacking down the wings, creating long shot opportunities, defending set pieces. They are strong in creating chances through individual skill. Weaknesses. They are weak in these 2 categories. Defending against attacks down the wings, defending against long shots. They are very weak against protecting the lead, and James Kent actually said that to me. He backed that up, that for whatever reason, they do have a tendency, once they get the lead, to give up the lead. So just that's a little food for thought for you guys. Their style: control the game in the opposition's half, attack through the middle, possession football, short passes, non-aggressive, play the offside trap, consistent first 11. All right, Giannis, I'm going to go to you with the information from WhoScored.com. What are your thoughts about what I shared about Norwich City?
Well, it all adds up to the fact that they're a very good side. They've got a lot of Premier League experience. They're obviously an attacking side. They're well organized. Alex Neil's done a very good job with them. I tip them to be there or thereabouts at the start of the season. I've got no reason to change that now. But it is the sort of game that I think we can get up for. I do tend to think we play better against better opposition. They've just come off a 3-1 win over Rotherham, even though Rotherham, I think, are bottom at the moment. Nonetheless, should be a very good atmosphere, and I think Fulham will be up for it. And the City, before the show, we've had a very good recent home record against them. And I think we've got enough speed and guile in our lineup to cause them a lot of problems. So I anticipate a very difficult game, but I also anticipate a game that I believe that we've got the firepower to win.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, Mike, over to you. I'm just going to share just a little bit more information from WhoScored.com, then a stats comparison. I want to get your thoughts on that and see if anything sticks out to you. Norwich City's highest-rated players, according to WhoScored.com, are Wes Houlihan, Cameron Jerome, and Jacob Murphy. Just to keep that in mind, their leading goal scorers are Cameron Jerome with 6 goals and Jacob Murphy with 5 goals. And here's my stats comparison for the league. Let's start with possession. Fulham are currently 2nd in the league at 57.3. Norwich City are 7th at 52.0. Shots per game, Fulham are currently 3rd at 15.3. Norwich City are 9th at 13.3. Aerials won, Fulham are 23rd in the league at 17.9. And Norwich City are 16th at 19.9. Passing success, Fulham are still first in the league at 84.5. And Norwich City are 10th at 76.2. Crosses per game, Fulham are tied for first with 22. And Norwich City are 10th with 20. Through balls, Fulham are currently first in the league with 3 through balls per game. And Norwich are tied for third with 1. Let's see, long balls. Fulham are currently 24th. They've been 24th for a long time. Last in the league with 68. And Norwich City are 18th with 72. Short passes, Fulham are, once again, first in the league with 488 short passes per game. Norwich City are 7th with 372. All right, Mike, what stands out to you from the stats that I shared and all the information from WhoScored.com regarding Norwich City?
It's going to be a tough game. For me, they were always a team that was going to challenge certainly top 6. There was a few rumblings at the beginning of the season that their fans weren't very happy with Neil. But as I've explained on the show before, Norwich have that sort of, you know, system in place at the club where if a team gets promoted and then they come straight back down, you know, all the players, everyone at the club loses 50% of their wages. So they can keep a very steady squad. So, you know, a number of these players were still around a couple of years ago when they got promotion. So, the thing about tomorrow is we've got to keep, you know, Jerome, Murphy and Houlihan quiet as much as we can. So it's all going to be about
absolutely.
Who plays, you know, if Parker's going to play, who's going to play next to him, which when we come to name the teams, I'll give you a reason why I think Jokanović will do what I say. It's, you know, we've got a bloody good record against them as well. I mean, you know, I saw some stat where it's 9 games, I think, and they've got 1 draw in the last 9 at the Cottage. And they've come to us in very good positions before, and we always seem to get a result. So given the bad run we've had, the result on Saturday, it will be time tomorrow to find out if Saturday was just a flash in the pan or we have a team that can compete with these guys at the top. And, you know, many fans might think, you know, the team we've got is just a mid-table, that's where we're going to end up. Well, you know, I want to do better than that. I want us to be in that top six playoff area. And to do that, we're going to have to give Norwich a very good game. There's a good chance we're going to lose. They are them and Newcastle are the two best teams in the league, probably. But performance-wise, especially at the Cottage, we really need to get something out of tomorrow. Otherwise, the fans get jittery again. So, it's going to be a really, really tough game. But we've got to keep Jerome quiet and Houlihan quiet for me.
No, listen, I definitely agree with you, Mike. I want to ask you before I go on any further, how much stock do you put into this record against Norwich City? Do you think that plays a factor with this team? And, yes, we did beat them 2 years ago, and that Fulham team was not that great. We did beat them, and the history is on our side. But how much of a factor do you think that plays in this match now?
Well, the trouble is all these kind of records are there to be broken. We had one broken the other week at home to QPR, didn't we? Then being
right.
As at home since 1980. So I think there's always something about these kind of things, both for Fulham and, you know, we can go places we've never won and then finally get a win. You know, it's not very often that we do something like that. But, it doesn't really mean anything. You know, once the game kicks off tomorrow, it's two completely different teams from the last time we met. I always sort of equate playing Norwich at home towards the end of a season. It's sunny and we're going to bash them one. And tomorrow it's going to be wet by the looks of it. Cold October Tuesday night. So completely different teams, completely different, you know, conditions. So it doesn't really mean much except what the fans remember, but whatever way you look at it, it's going to be a tough game tomorrow. So if we can get anything out of it, it'll be a result.
It's going to be a very tough match. This is a very good team. I watched a good amount of tape on them today, and they're impressive. I'm not going to lie here. They really are. They tend to play a 4-2-3-1 similar to us, and they get a lot of they get a lot of play from their fullbacks banging forward, so maybe that's an opportunity if we get them out of position to beat them on the counter. But this is a team that's coming to Craven Cottage to attack. That's what I saw, and that's basically what I'm also going to be sharing here. So here's some information from James Kent. Like I mentioned, he's a freelance writer, but he is a North City supporter. I had just asked him a few questions to give us some information for our preview, so here it is. I just asked him which players Fulham need to watch in this match. Here's his answer. The main surprise player for us this season has been Jacob Murphy, who has done an excellent job with replacing Nathan Redmond, who joined Southampton in the summer. Murphy has already scored 5 goals and is the second highest scorer. So certainly one to watch. Other strong players for us include Cameron Jerome, who is our top scorer with 6, and Wes Lillehan, who only has 4 assists this season. If Fulham are going to get a result, then they will probably have to keep these 3 players quiet. Sounds like I'm talking to Mike Gray, because that's what you just said, Mike. All right, strengths and weaknesses for Norwich City. Here's what James had to share. Norwich's obvious strength is an attacking force, as only Newcastle have scored more goals than them, but they do have a tendency to let teams back into games when in a comfortable position. It's also worth mentioning that the team have the worst defense in the top 6, so that's a potential weak point as well. Then I asked him which Fulham players concern him in this match. His answer was, Chris Martin may not have made a massive impact at Fulham so far this season, but I think it's one of the best bit of business you did. He's an established championship scorer and a former Norwich player, so he will be keen to do well. Other players that Norwich will need to be wary of include Lucas Piazon and Tom Kearney. Then I asked him, if you were Fulham head coach Slavisa Jokanovic, what would be your strategy against Norwich City? His response, Norwich have struggled to break down teams at times when they park the bus. So I recommend a counterattacking system from Fulham. They should also look to put the defense under pressure when they do have attacks. And don't panic if they're behind due to Norwich's tendency to let teams back into the game. Then I went and I asked James his prediction for the match. Here it is. Fulham will provide a tough test for Norwich, and their record at Fulham isn't good. However, Alex Neil's team have come through some tough away games recently, and I would back them to do the same again. If they play like they can, they should have too much for Fulham, so I'll give a 2-1 Norwich win. So that's my friend James's prediction and some information that he shared about his team that he follows. Giannis, thoughts on what I just shared from my friend James Kent?
He's pretty accurate. I think it's a game we can win. I do, actually. They'll bring a big following down. But I do think that recent records have a say. I think it gets the psyche, you know, we've heard the phrases, bogey side. And, you know, then, no pun intended, but because they're top, they're there to be knocked off their perch. So it's going to be, but I think if he just puts the right lineup tomorrow night, I think we're going to give him a very, very tough game. Personally, it should be fun just to see Delia Smith cry into her bear or sit on a canary or you know, one of those things. Because not a great fan of hers, to be honest.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's get into this, Mike. I'm going to start with you. Who are your key players for Fulham tomorrow in this match against Norwich City?
It's going to be Parker again, and also Martin, because I think it's more about who wins the midfield and who out of Jerome and Martin take their chances. So Parker and Martin for me are the key players. And it will be interesting to see who goes in next to Parker as well, because that person will be the third key member of the team for me.
Okay, and when I get to your starting 11, I'll be curious who that player is. But we'll get to that in just a little bit. Giannis, over to you. Overall, what does Fulham need to do to win this match? How do they win this match?
I think more of the same than they did on Saturday. Let's get the fullbacks flying up the wings. I'm assuming that Slava will keep Odoi and Malone in there and allow us to attack in numbers. I think if they can get the crosses in, whoever's in the box, you know, can get on the end of them. And I actually really believe that Matt Smith will get a start tomorrow night. And I think whether you put Smith or Martin up there, they're big boys. And they'll certainly test Norwich. They do have speed out wide, and I think the fullbacks are going to be the key tomorrow night.
Okay, very good. Mike, before we go on, David Holly always makes fun of the way that I say this club's name. Am I saying it correctly? Norwich City. Did I say that correctly?
It's fine for me, Russ.
Okay.
Yeah, no problems. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Mike. I'm dying to know your starting 11. I want to know who's going to be next to Parker, so let's get to it.
Well, I mean, I think it'd be the same, you know, it'd be Button in goal. I think it'd be the same back four and the same front four, if you like, you know, with Martin, Aluku, Piazon and Kearney. So the real question mark for me is, you know, Parker should start, and who's going to be next to him? Now, I said earlier that Johansson is Jokanovic's pick, but, you know, he gives you that attacking going forward. But I think noting the goals that we conceded the other day, like I say, you could blame Ream or whatever way you look at it. But with their attacking, with Norwich's attacking prowess, I think we will see Tunnicliffe or McDonald. As much as I don't want to see those two start together, I think Jokanovic may revert to Parker and McDonald coming back after his ban to give that extra defensive shield to try and stop Houlihan and Murphy, you know, being that involved. So that's what I think possibly will happen. If it's not McDonald, I think Tunnicliffe goes straight in as well. I don't see okay. Johansson starting tomorrow night.
Okay, Mike, and say he does go with either one of those two scenarios. Like you said, either it's Tunnicliffe and Parker or McDonald and Parker. We've already been talking about the mobility. So I understand being able to give extra cover, but how will that affect form going forward if he decides to go in that direction?
Then I think it nullifies what we did so well the other day. But I'm just trying to read the way Jokanović sometimes puts out his teams. And I think against the stronger team, he will decide to do that. It will make us almost, you know, you're almost asking Norwich to come on to us if we play. Like, I hope he doesn't do it. I hope I'm completely wrong, and I'm willing to, you know, accept that. But I just got a nagging feeling in that that's what he's going to do, and I think it will take away from, you know, what we did so well on Saturday. I think we need to take the game to them, and especially at home, we need to get back, you know, good performance. Let's not lose. We need to be pushing with Martin and Aluku forward. So I would like to see Johansson start again, but I just got that nagging feeling he's going to make that change.
If he went with Tunnicliffe, would that be a little bit better than, say, McDonald, though, Mike? Because Tunnicliffe do that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, my hope is that McDonald, because he's been out for three games, you know, he won't be put straight back in. So if Tunnicliffe started, I'd be okay with that. But if I vowed a few weeks ago, I really never, ever want to see Parker and McDonald start a game at the Cottage. So, you know, fingers crossed that's not going to happen tomorrow.
Well, Mike, I totally agree with you on that. You know I'm a fan of McDonald, but I don't want to see those two play together at Craven Cottage. Maybe on the road, but not at Craven Cottage. All right, Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on your starting 11. I want you to share yours, and then we'll go right into predictions.
Button's going to start in net. Same back four, except Marvel comes in for Ream. Central two, Parker, Tunnicliffe comes in for Johansson. The three, Piazon, Aluko, and Kearney, are going to stay as they are. And for me, Matt Smith will start. I think that you may see Corley on the bench tomorrow night. I hope so. I hope Lasse Vigan gets a chance as well. But don't be surprised if, for the Villa game on Saturday, just looking ahead a little, don't be surprised if he plays a very similar lineup Saturday than he did against Barnsley, because if you thought Barnsley were struggling, poor Villa have only won one game and they've drawn seven. And their fans, when they got relegated, were talking about everybody else in Championship being tin pot. Right now, they're fourth from bottom and having a real nasty go of it. But I'd make those changes and just keep it a little bit tighter. I agree with Mike. I don't ever want to see Parker and... McDonald, yeah. I don't want to see them. I don't want them sitting on a park bench, let alone in the middle of a park. So that lineup I think would be good, and that will counter. I want to have Marvel in, because I'm not a fan of Cameron Jerome, but for some inane reason he knows how to score goals. So I think Marvel can certainly handle him.
Okay, Giannis. Before we move on, I want to go back to you, and I want to ask you about Matt Smith because you want to see Matt Smith.
Yes.
Here's my argument for Martin. Martin is a former North City player. Doesn't it make sense to play him?
I think my decision here would be on rotation. And if Slava's got to look at it, if Malone and Odoi are going to play this well consistently in terms of galloping like horses down the wings and getting crosses in, I don't think there's much to choose between Martin and Matt Smith. And Matt Smith has scored some big goals for us. So, you know, Martin got the nod on the weekend. Smith came on, I think it was in the 90th minute on Saturday. I say, look, let's give Smith a run out and let's see how he does. And if it doesn't work according to the plan, you bring Martin on. It's, you know, it's 1A and 1B.
Okay.
I agree with the thing about playing against your old club, but then once you've played against the one, it's like it's I think the novelty wears off. So I wouldn't put that much stock into it. But I do think that Smith, because he'll be nice and fresh at least, would probably be the better option.
Okay. No, I understand, you know, there, Giannis. I'm, you know, please, you know, I want everyone to share their opinion. You know, that's what this show is all about, my friend.
No Darren Bent.
No Darren Bent. Okay. All right. Time for predictions. Let's now go to the Cutters Talk Twitter poll. I had 123 votes. Win, 48%. Draw, 33%. Loss, 19%. I have to say, guys, I was a little bit surprised. I thought loss would be much higher considering North City are first in the division. But out of 123 votes, we only got 19% on that. Now we'll go to the Cottage Talk Facebook page quickly. I'll only read a few of them because I have several of them. Mario Gold has Fulham 2-1. James Eade has 1-1. Andy Robbins has 3-1 to Fulham. Chris Baugh has 3-1 to Norwich. And I said it wrong. Norwich. Sorry, David Hulley. Ryan Fulick, Fulham to win 4-1. Jason Holmes, 2-1 to Fulham. Adam Hicks, 3-3. Justin Glessner, 2-0 to Fulham. Let's see. Joe Smythe, 1-1. Dan Layton, 2-1 to Fulham. And then I'll just go to Ben Reed. That'll be my final one. We'll lose. Where's something that I'm just not going to say on this show. Ben, you keep on having swears, and I'm not going to say it on Cottage Talk, so sorry about that. All right, Giannis, I will start with you, my friend. Give me your prediction for the match.
I believe we're going to win tomorrow night, Russ. I believe we're going to beat them 1-0. I think we'll carry on the confidence booster from Saturday. I think it's one of those games where, in a way, we've got nothing to lose. We've not played well at home recently. We should be close to a capacity crowd tomorrow night. They'll bring a lot of fans down. If we approach it like we did against Newcastle, you know, being we're the underdogs, even though we're home, nobody cares, let's have a right go at them, then I think we're going to cause them lots of problems. So I believe that we will knock them off 1-0.
Okay, very good. All right, Mr. Greg, it's up to you. What's your prediction for this match? Are you going to give me a David Hulley sit on the fence, or are we going to make a decision?
I think it's going to be a really, really tough game, and I really hope we can get a win, but I'm not seeing it. I think Norwich will be a bit too strong for us, so I'm going to go for a 2-1 to Norwich.
Okay. Fair enough, Mike. I certainly understand that. I wouldn't blame anyone
I want to win.
Sure. Sure, you know, Listen, the evidence points towards Norwich City winning this match. I gave you guys all kinds of information that says that they should come to Craven Cottage and win this match. They're first in the division for a reason. So I don't blame you at all, Mike, for picking them. I wouldn't blame any fan for picking Norwich City to win this match. And, Giannis, certainly I understand why you picked a Fulham victory. I've been thinking about this a great deal. Someone asked me for my prediction. So I'm going to give you what I gave to this Norwich website. I predicted a Fulham victory, yes. Shocker, Russ Goldman predicts a Fulham victory. I'm going 2-1 to Fulham, and I've got 2 goals by Chris Martin. I think he's going to score against his former club, and I think he's going to get the victory against his former club. But as I've also said to several people, I think all scenarios are in play. I think this is going to be a close match, so Mike, you could very easily be right. It could be a draw, or it could be a Fulham victory. I think it's going to be that close. I think we're going to show up well. Let me ask you, Mike, if they do get a loss, but they show you something, will you still be down on them? Because I know you put a lot of emphasis on these 3 matches.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, Norwich are top, and it's going to be a tough game. So performance, you know, will tell a lot about the team as well. But the fact is, we do need to get results. I mean, if we can get a draw, then, you know, that will be a bonus for me. And a victory, well, that sets up Saturday's game, you know, to try and finish this week off really well. But, yeah, it's going to be tough. But, you know, it's possible. You know, I do, like I say, I do believe this team is good enough to get that sort of sixth place. And it would be nice to get another one over, you know, one of the favorites.
Absolutely, Mike. And you know, listen, we were talking about this before. Fulham's results or bad results against many teams so far at Craven Cottage have been against teams that I think that they should have beaten or at least gotten points off of. Well, they did, you know, against Burton, but there were some other teams that I really felt they should have beaten, Mike. Do you feel, because, you know, I know it's so long ago and it was the first match of the season, but do you think that they will raise their game like they did against Newcastle United, that they're playing against a team that should be at the top of the division, that maybe that will raise their performance?
Well, yeah, I mean, the atmosphere, as Yanis said, should be good tomorrow night. And, you know, the frustrating thing is, Rush, you look back over the silly, you know, this seven-game run where we had, you know, if you include the cup game, where we haven't won a game. But you look back at them and you think, well, we should have picked a point up there. We should have won that game and we've given it away. We should be sitting in, you know, fifth place, if you like. You know,
I agree.
We need to make those points up somewhere. So if they can raise it for tomorrow, that'd be great. But it will. I want to see a performance of, you know, a good performance tomorrow to show that Saturday wasn't a flash in the pan. And no matter what the result is, that for me is key.
Okay. And that's why I asked you that, Mike, because I think a performance is very important tomorrow. All right, guys, let's go to final thoughts. First, I'll start with you, Yanis. Final thoughts before we go.
Final thoughts. I don't like Delia Smith. I don't like Canaries. I don't like the color yellow. I don't like Carrow Road. In fact, I don't like anything about Norwich, to be honest. But they are a good side. They're top for a reason. But, you know, hope springs eternal. And if we can carry on the momentum from Saturday's game against Barnsley, I really do believe we'll get a result. And if we get a point, it'll still be a good result. I think, but with the big crowd behind us, I'm hopeful that we'll take the 3 points off them.
Okay, very good. Mike, final thoughts.
Yeah, I think tomorrow's going to be a really good game. You know, I mean, it's going to be two teams playing football. And, you know, let's see what the standard is of a team that's top of the table. You know, Huddersfield have had a great run, but I don't think I saw bits of their game yesterday, and I don't think they're going to be there much longer. And so we are playing probably the second favourites for the Championship tomorrow. So let's see where we have to be for the rest of the season.
Okay, very good, guys. My final thoughts, two parts. First of all, I don't like Donald Trump, guys. In fact, I really don't like Donald Trump. Okay, so my final thought involves I'm not voting for Donald Trump, so that tells you who I'm voting for. So if for some reason, you know, you're upset that I said that, I'm sorry. Don't like Donald Trump, not voting for him. I'm just going to put it out there, okay? So I haven't actually said that to anyone. I'm not voting for Donald Trump. So there you go there. Number two, I agree with Mike. For me, it really is about the performance because I've seen a good amount of chatter on Twitter. Well, let's see how Fulham do against their next two opponents. And I think a performance is important. One thing that I don't like, just in general, and this is with all the teams that I support, I don't like when a victory is marginalized. This was an important victory. They needed to get this victory. I don't care who they played. They got the 3 points. That's all that matters in the end. Do not marginalize the victory. It's a good 3 points. Okay, they played well on the road. They deserved all 3 points. I watched the replay. It's a good 3 points. That's my final thoughts, guys. All right, it is time to wrap up this show. Great show, guys. Yanis, thank you so much for joining me tonight, my friend.
And you're more than welcome, and I have to echo your thoughts. Donald Trump is a misogynistic, sexist, possibly racist twonk who's also very dangerous. And he's actually, what he's managed to do is he's managed to embarrass most of the men around the planet with his vitriol and his antics and obviously there's been some issues in terms of history of doing inappropriate things to women. And the US of A is a great, great country. However, it doesn't, it's not saying a lot that out of 330 million people, you've got the two most unpopular candidates in the history of the US running for president. And that's why I'm going to make prediction.
I was just about to say, Yanis, it's very embarrassing that what you just shared, because that's what many of us think. So very good point by you for mentioning that.
I've called it here, 2024, the next president will be Michelle Obama. You heard it here.
Interesting. Boy, Yanis going way in the future. I kind of like that. Mike, listen, thank you so much for doing this with me. I know we waited a couple of days. I'm glad we waited a couple of days. Great job, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, my friend.
Yeah, no problem. Really enjoyed it. And, let's hope we can, next show whoever does that, we'll be talking about another win. And, let's look for that hat trick on Saturday, if possible.
Would that be nice, Mike? I'll call it the Mike Gregg hat trick. That's what I'll call it. All right, guys. It is time to wrap up the show. Great, great show. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. From Mike and Yanis, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Have a great night, guys.
Bye, Mikey.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye. Boys and